Hello, this is Pastor Philip Steele. This is the Evangelism Course, Bethel School of Discipleship, session 4, last session. I hope this has been good. I'm always encouraged by this. I'm not really, technically an evangelist, but I have had a desire to win people to the Lord and to train other people as well. So I'm hoping that you're getting something out of this course. Just to review just a little bit, we went through the biblical basis for evangelism, that God does want us to reach out to our lost ones, even our sphere of influence. You may never, get behind a camera like what I'm doing. You may never have a microphone in your hand, but we all have a sphere of influence. Those people that we have contact with, our neighbors, our friends, our family members, co-workers, classmates, etc. Those should be the ones that we should most likely live the life in such a way that we can have an opportunity to share the gospel. And sometimes you just need to be bold and just go for it, because Jesus has given us the great commission of go into all the world and make disciples. And making disciples is not just finding Christians and help them to become better Christians, but really it starts with engaging the lost, with the gospel, sharing the gospel with them, and then establishing biblical foundations, equipping. That's what we're doing right now, is equipping all the saints to minister. And then empowering. Empowering means pushing you out into the swimming pool, and you'll learn to swim. That's sometimes in evangelism, that's really the only way we can learn how to do it, is to do it, make mistakes, share our testimony, share our faith, and then come back and do better the next time. If perfection was a requirement to evangelize, nobody could ever evangelize. If complete sanctification was a requirement to evangelize, nobody would ever. If full knowledge of the Bible before you go out and share your faith was a requirement, nobody could ever. And so it's not a matter of maturity or perfection, but just progress. If you're making progress, if you're one day old in the Lord, you can share something. I even look at the Bible, and Saul of Tarsus immediately went and shared the gospel. The Samaritan woman, she was of the, in her day, the wrong gender, the wrong race, 5 times rejected, living in sin. She was least qualified, but the best evangelist. She brought the whole town of Samaria to see Jesus. Come see a man who's told me everything that I've done. And so don't disqualify yourself because of your past, because God does not call the qualified, but he qualifies the called. Kind of a tongue twister there, but if you're watching this video, I believe that God has something for you to share, and he has people that need to hear it from you. You will be able to share with people that I'll never be able to meet. And so just be bold, just go for it as well. Some of the tools that we've given you over the last couple sessions, remember to practice your 2-minute miracle, your story of salvation. Nobody can argue with you about that. Practice it and then use it. And 30 seconds, what your life was like before knowing Christ, before having that encounter, kind of what were the lies, the idols in your life that you were looking to for security, for identity. And then about 60 seconds of how you came to Christ. Bring us into the movie of your life. Have us sit on the front row of what was happening. Give us a little bit of details, but not too much. And then about 30 seconds of how the Lord has sustained you through that. So, continue to practice your 2-minute miracle. And then also the message. We talked about the message in 4 words. I'm reviewing, and I think it's important for us to review so that you can master the material, not just, I've heard that before. But if we hear it without actually using it, we will deceive ourselves. The 4 words, do you remember what they are? Creation. And what else is think? See if you can get it before I say it. Creation. Rebellion. After the rebellion. Redemption. And restoration. Or what about the message Pastor Rice gave us? That God became a man. Do you remember what it is? See if you can say it. I'm just going to pause. See if you can say it out loud. God became a man in Christ Jesus. He lived the life that we should have lived. He died the death that we should have died, suffered in our place, rose again on the 3rd day, proving that he is the Son of God, and now offers the gift of salvation to all those who repent and believe the gospel. So that little nugget, that little almost creed, the gospel is the good news. God became a man in Christ Jesus. He lived the life we should have lived. He died the death we should have died in our place. Rose again on the third day, proving that he's the Son of God, and now offers the gift of salvation to all those who believe, all those who repent and believe the gospel. It doesn't matter if you mess up a little bit, just nobody knows. The person you're sharing with doesn't know what you're really supposed to say, or if you messed up, so just, you know, just go ahead and say it. You know, those are some good things. And then we talked about the God test. That's a tool. It's a really a global survey, you know, to engage people with the gospel. And really, the key, I think, the SALT, S-A-L-T, is very important. Start a conversation. Just open up your mouth and you'll see that the Lord will put, you know, words in your mouth. And then ask questions. And the God test gives us those questions. And you want to listen. As you listen, not argumentatively, not contentiously, you know, but just listen, don't argue. And as you listen, their heart is being opened up to what you're going to say, and then you're earning the right to be heard. So start a conversation, ask questions, listen attentively, and then also tell the story. Tell the story of the gospel, tell the story of Jesus, and then also tell your story as well. So that's just, you know, just a little bit of, you know, what we've been doing. Today we're going to talk about the God test side A. That's the atheist side. And just real quick, a testimony of, I was in Honduras a few months ago and we did some God testing. We make a verb out of the noun, God testing, on the campus there. And one student, you know, he said he thought he was, he answered the first question, do you believe in God? He said no. Said he was an atheist. And sometimes people think they're getting off the hook by saying they're an atheist. They don't want to talk about it. Well, we have questions for you too. And so I went through the questions with Joel. He was a student at the University of Honduras, National University. And then, you know, just listen to him, you know, some of the questions, and we'll go through it here in a minute. And then I had another friend, Luis, share his, basically his 2-minute miracle. And then Luis took down his name and, you know, his telephone number and got in contact with him. This was on a Friday. And then by Monday, Luis had met with Joel, the one who said he was an atheist, met with him. And, you know, by Tuesday, I got a text. I had come back to my home here in Nashville. I got a text on Tuesday saying that Joel, who said he was an atheist on Friday, by Tuesday, he had received Jesus. You know, so that word never returns void. Don't just think that if somebody says they're an atheist, that they're militant, that they're anti, that they'll never. No, God is pouring forth of His Spirit and people are coming to Christ. And now Joel is a part of our, in this recording, the COVID crisis that we're under, virtual life groups all over the place. But Joel is a part of our, one of three virtual life groups in Honduras. And he's actually inviting his friends to come to those virtual life groups. So he's been transformed. So don't be intimidated by somebody that says, you know, that they're an atheist. Even my friend Luis, who shared the gospel, followed up on him. Really, that was his first time on the university campus. He just had the Spirit of God in him and a desire to win other people. You know, so just really go for it. So we're going to go through the God test, you know, this side A for the atheist. Okay, so you just watch, pay attention, and if we can do it, you can do it too. So this is my daughter, Ruth. We're going to do the God test. I do want to show you the side A. Obviously, this is kind of a setup and everything like that, but just so you can see a little bit how it works. How's it going?
Pretty good.
Good. Hey, listen, we're doing a global survey. Would you be willing to take a survey, some questions about God? It's really the biggest global survey about God.
Sure.
Okay, first question. Do you believe in God?
I don't.
No. Okay. Here's another question. What are the main reasons you don't believe in God? Maybe conflict with science, evil and suffering, lack of evidence, multiple religions, maybe something else. Have you ever really thought about why you don't believe in God?
I think I just haven't seen God show up in my life. And so I don't see the evidence for it personally.
Okay, I'm going to put down lack of evidence.
Okay.
Okay, good? Okay.
Why is there something rather than nothing? Why are we here in the first place? Have we always existed? Maybe the universe created itself, just the laws of physics, or maybe you have no idea, or maybe something else.
I think it's all by chance that we're here, which makes me grateful because by chance I'm alive, but I think it's all by chance.
Okay, I'm going to put in a comment here. Just put in what you just said, by chance, okay? And then that'll get recorded. Okay, just a minute. There we go. Do you find any ultimate purpose or meaning in the universe?
I think as people that we should live good lives and try to benefit society. As far as for the universe, I don't know. I think it's just meant to exist.
Okay, I'm going to put down uncertain.
Okay.
Okay. How do you account for the origin of life? By chance, the laws of nature, extraterrestrial origins, uncertain, maybe something else. How did it all get started?
I don't know. I think matter came about by chance, but I think life somehow was always meant to happen. But I don't know how.
Okay, I'm going to say uncertain.
Okay.
Okay, that's a real good question. How about this one? Does evil exist?
I am going to say no. I think it's all relative.
It's all relative. Okay. Well, I think you're getting ahead here a little bit. Because the next question, what is the basis of your morality? No basis, social norms, evolution, feelings, something else?
I guess I would lean a little bit towards social norms and just doing things that don't harm you, other people, or the environment.
Okay. Okay, good. Do you think human life is special compared to animal or plant life? Yes, no, uncertain.
I would say so.
Yes. Okay. How certain are you that God does not exist, like on a scale of 1 to 10? Now, there was the famous atheist Richard Dawkins. He was asked this question. On a scale of 1 to 7, he said a 6. You know, so even like the most famous atheist wasn't 100% sure. Again, how certain are you that God does not exist on a scale of 1 to 10?
Maybe 7.
7, okay. Number 10, this is the last one. Would you like to discuss the theistic responses to these questions?
Sure.
Okay, I'm going to say yes. And then what we'll do is we'll just kind of go back through it, okay? And you said no. What are the main reasons you don't believe in God? You said just a lack of evidence. And, you know, I could really respect that and everything. And, you know, my prayer, I do believe in God, obviously, that you would have, you know, evidence. Just in my own life, I used to go to church pretty much every Sunday. I would be in church. But Friday nights, Saturday nights, I'd just be out partying it up, thought that God was beyond the last star. But I always kind of questioned, wondered what happened, like, after death. And I'd heard about Jesus, heard about the, you know, what the Bible says. And when I left the farm to go to the University of Minnesota to study, part of me said, I'm not going to go back to church because I've gone to church pretty much every week. But then I felt that God was kind of drawing me, that he was looking for that relationship with me. And I started to go to a small group Bible study. And I could see there, I could see God working in the lives of the other young people. And one day at about 10 o'clock at night after a small group Bible study that I was going to, I asked Jesus to come into my life. And I can say that the historical Jesus who rose again from the dead came into my life, made me into a new person. And, you know, so I can say that I have had, you know, that personal relationship is like what I like to call it, evidence of God in my own personal life. Because he's really sustained me since then as well, and just caused me to be strong, you know, and to be with him. Excuse me. Why is there something rather than nothing? And you said, I don't know, I can't remember, you said
By chance.
Yeah, we filled that one in, yeah. So I would just say that, you know, God in the beginning had a purpose for us. There's a very personal God who's a being beyond space, beyond time. He's eternal. He's omnipresent in all places at the same time and all powerful and wanted to create, you know, and so it's on his initiative that things were created. And then, do you find any ultimate purpose or meaning in the universe? You said yes. And I would, you know, agree that, you know, that our purpose is really to know God in a greater way and to make him known unto other people. How do you account for the origin of life? Again, you know, what the Bible talks about is that God created. We do have a creator God that created the heavens and the earth. And does evil exist? You said no. And, you know, as we've done this throughout the world, really, a lot of people would say yes, you know, and kind of relative. You know, I can understand that as well. You know, who do you compare yourself with? You know, am I evil compared to the, you know, killer that killed 10 people? Well, I'm pretty good compared to that person. But then compared to somebody like, I don't know, Mother Teresa or some other person that's really helped, or like the first responders, is, you know, the COVID crisis and everything, you know, then maybe I'm not as good. You know, but I think that, you know, definitely there is evil in the world, even from the beginning when God created man to have a relationship, then man decided to go against God and disobey God. And then since then, the murder, the wars, and the stealing and corruption and everything that goes on. And then what is the basis of your morality? And you said social norms. You know, as a believer in God, in the Bible, you know, God's commandments, even especially the Ten Commandments. Have you heard of the Ten Commandments?
Yeah.
Do you remember what any of them are?
No.
You don't really remember?
No.
Let me help you, okay? So, you shall have no other gods before me. Don't make for yourself an idol. Don't use the name of the Lord your God in vain. Remember the Sabbath. Honor your father and your mother. Don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't bear false witness. And don't covet. Now, I don't know about you, but I know that I'm guilty of, you know, all of those, really. Because even Jesus said, you know, if you look at a woman lustfully, you've already committed adultery in your heart. If you're angry with somebody, it's like killing them. You know, and even stealing, even just to take something that doesn't belong, a pencil or something like that, a power cable that doesn't belong to you, you know, that would be stealing as well. You know, and so the basis of our morality would be, you know, God's commands. Shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, love your neighbor as yourself. And so otherwise, you know, social norms can change from time to time and everything like that. And do you think human life is special compared to animal or plant life? And you said, what did you say? Help me.
I said yes.
Yes. You know, I would agree. I think that we are created in God's image, and we do have value because we're created in God's image. And as well, you know, even evil existing, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus, to die on the cross in our place. God became a man in Christ Jesus, and he lived that perfect, holy, righteous life, and then he suffered. He died in our place. You know, on the third day, he rose again from the dead, proving that he's the Son of God. And he offers the gift of salvation to everyone who believes and repents. And so really, we have value because we're created in God's image, and as well because Jesus died on the cross for us. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. And then the last one, how certain are you that God does not exist? You said like a 7. So even, you know, there's 30% chance amongst your knowledge, limited. Now we all have limited knowledge. There are things outside of our knowledge, you know, and so outside of our knowledge that could exist as well. And then on this one, of course, you said yes. Would it be okay, you know, I do believe in God. Could I pray for you that, you know, maybe God would reveal that you would have that evidence that you said you don't have?
Sure.
Can I do that? Okay, Lord, thank you so much for Ruth, and I pray that you would show yourself to her, God, that you would become real, that she could see you, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I've really enjoyed this time of just talking. Would you be interested? I don't know if you've got a Bible, or, you know, maybe we could get down. If you've got any questions, we could just read what the Bible says a little bit. You know, some people almost like they've never really explored what the Bible says, and they reject it. I'm not saying that you've done that, but, you know, maybe we could, if you'd be willing to get together another time.
Sure.
Like maybe next week or something like that. Would that work?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do that. Okay. Thank you.
You know, I really do like the God test. I mean, I've used it in multiple different countries, university settings, and people might be intimidated to go onto a campus and, you know, do the God test, but I think it's a great tool. You know, and just to go through a little bit, kind of even the philosophy of why we're asking these questions, I think Pastor Rice did a great job of thinking through and writing out the questions. And there have been several, you know, additions or, you know, improvements on the God test, which as we go out and use it, then he's able to, you know, change some of the questions to just to get to the very important questions. You know, again, we start with question one, do you believe in God? Same question for those who are believers or those who say they're atheists. But that just, you know, if they're uncertain, you know, just ask them if you could ask, you know, some more questions about that. And then if they say no, again, flip to the side A where it's agnostic or atheist, you know, and then question two, what are the main reasons you do not believe in God? Why are you uncertain? And then just listen. Remember, salt, S-A-L-T, start a conversation, ask, listen carefully. And this question will give you a basic idea of why they do not believe in God. In a lot of cases, people start out early in life with some basic belief in God and then slowly abandoned it. Many times a single issue or doubt grew into an obstacle that obscured their original knowledge of God. You need to be prepared to respond to this. And so this is the scenery, is the case for Hitchens, Dawkins, Harris, Schumer, as well as Darwin himself, a famous atheist. They started out with some sort of a belief in God, but then abandoned it. Even if you watch the movie, God's Not Dead, we'll go back to the movie. If we can't go to the Bible, go to the movie. You know, the professor, he was angry at a God that he said he didn't believe in. And kind of the clutch moment of the movie, how could you be angry at somebody who doesn't exist? Turns out the professor, I know it's a movie, all of that, but it's very, I think there are real cases like that where he was praying for his mother. His mother died of cancer. He was very young. You know, why is it that this God has deceived me? Or why are there hypocrites in the church? Why does evil exist? And even in the online version, in the app version, it gives you some different alternative answers as well. And so some of the three, you know, might be because of evidence. There's no evidence for the existence of God. There's evolution and science in general have disproved the need for God. Evil and suffering in the world. If there's a loving God, why is all this evil happening? Either God isn't loving or he's not all powerful, but yet they forget about our free will as well. And so these diagnostic questions from questions 3 to 7 help you to determine what the listener actually believes. And so even just as doctors, when they're being trained, of course, I'm not a doctor, but I just can imagine that there's interview training process where they train them to ask questions. Where does it hurt? How long has it been hurting? And then depending upon the patient's answers, then they'll ask other questions. And that's kind of what we're doing here in these questions 3 through 7. Many people's true beliefs are quite different from their conscience beliefs. Their answers to these questions will also help them to understand the implications of not believing in God. And so they're not closed questions that can just be answered with a yes or a no, except for question number one. You know, so there's other questions. The one question, you know, do you believe in evil? Does evil exist? That's a yes, no question, but it's followed up by what is the basis for your morality? In other words, how do you determine what's evil? Do you find any ultimate meaning or purpose in the universe? The need for purpose or meaning resides deeply with the human psyche. We all have that need for some kind of significance, some kind of even recognition. And so this question is intended to help a person search for the source of those longings. And but really, if there's no God, there's no ultimate meaning or purpose in life. And some would respond to this challenge by attempting to create even their own meaning and purpose. And even nature itself clearly reveals that purpose is embedded in every foundation of our of our world. And so you can kind of look through even the notes here and just get more of it. You can go to the website, thegodtest.org, and you can get even more. Or at the end of the God Test on the app version, there's explanation. So, you know, try to become as familiar as you can, but then just go out and do it. Don't wait to be perfect. Don't wait to have all knowledge. Because if that was the requirement, nobody could ever go out and share. And if you stumble, don't worry about it. Go back. There'll be another one. And you've planted a seed. You know, at the end of the day, you can say, you know, I really don't know how to answer that question. That's a very good question. Show respect for him. But let me share with you what happened to me. I used to be like this. I had an encounter. Of course, wink, wink, that's your two-minute testimony, two-minute miracle. How do you account for the laws of nature? You know, and so these questions, really, you've got to know that it's not so much that you need to be a great scientist or apologetic expert. But these questions force the atheist to question their atheism. Yeah, how does that? A lot of people will say, well, I really don't know. And you don't have to be contentious, argumentative, but, you know, that just a good question. You know, how do you account for that apart from a supreme being, intelligent design? And, you know, the atheist, remember that the atheist position is based as much on faith as ours, the main difference being that ours is far more consistent with reality. And don't become too bogged down defending something that you're not confident in yourself. Don't worry about becoming a super expert. Apologetics is not the goal. Winning the soul is the goal. We don't necessarily want to win the argument. We want to win them to Jesus. Let the fruit of our spirit, our testimony, the seed that we're planting in them. Does evil exist? The problem of evil is by far the most frequent reason that people use to defend why they don't believe in God. And since an atheist believes that God does not exist, then the weight and responsibility fall right where it rightly belongs, on human beings. Moreover, without a divine lawgiver, no objective criteria for evil can exist. God gave people the choice, that free will. You can decide, that child can decide to touch that hot stove, but the consequence is it's going to be burned, okay? And as Christians are transformed by God, they can come together in community to overcome evil in the world. By contrast, atheism does not take away the pain, just the hope of a better life beyond this life. And remember, evil is a very emotional issue with people. They're usually focused on not being a detached third party, but very personal offense many times. And then, what is the basis for your morality? You see, these questions are very good. One of the most important apologetic principles is called the moral argument for the existence of God. The atheist must realize that his or her moral values have no basis without God. Who are you to say that it's wrong to steal, to kill, to lie, to commit adultery? Those injustices, and you can see it in different, you know, just social justice movements, that all of a sudden, if they're from one political party, yeah, it's wrong. But if a person does the same crime from a different political, they just kind of ignore it. And you can see almost the hypocrisy between some of these. They project, they judge other people, but they themselves do the same thing. Atheists often argue that they can be good without God. In truth, they can be respectful persons, members of society, productive citizens. We're not saying that an atheist is as evil as they possibly could be. We're not saying that they can't do something good. But apart from Jesus, even the Bible says, if you look at the motive of their heart, why would they help the poor but to later brag about it? Why would they help but in order to impress other people? And so even the motivation of their heart can be evil. And a lot of atheists live upstanding lives, raised in society strongly influenced by Christian living. Another common argument, people may rightly mention that Christians have acted immorally by any reasonable standard. That's certainly valid. Not all Christians have really lived and expressed Christianity in the greatest way. I mean, it's just, unfortunately, yeah, there have been ministers who've fallen, things done in the name of Christ that have not been Christian, Christ examples. And so I would just, you know, yeah, you're right, absolutely right. You know, and your humility will win their heart, I think. And another common argument that people might rightly mention, Christians have acted, yeah, but we've got that. History shows that when Christians have faithfully served Christ, yeah, it's been the Christians that have adopted the undesirables. It's been the Christians that have started the hospitals. It's been Christians that have done so much for social good. And so remember that the critics of religion are not completely wrong in their condemnations. Again, sometimes humility and recognizing that they're right can win their heart, as opposed to just winning the argument of the moment. Do you think human life is special? And again, yes, I do think human life is special. God created man in His image. You can see the different, you know, the transcendental thought, thinking about thinking, moral framework, creativity and ingenuity, which can produce advanced technologies, complex thought and communication. So definitely, yes, I would say that we are superior to plants and animals. And again, you want to be humble when you're doing it. How certain are you that God does not exist on a scale of 1 to 10? You might mention that Richard Dawkins, after being asked this question, said that he was a 6 on a scale of 1 to 7. So even he left a little bit of room for doubt. And again, we have God on our side. You know, the atheist says God doesn't exist. God says the atheist doesn't exist. And so, you know, and question number 9, have you ever explored what the Bible says about these questions? Or would you be willing to hear a theistic response? You know, many people have rejected Christianity without having ever studied it or really looked at it. You know, would you be willing? And then, you know, the last one, and would, you know, can I pray for you? And a lot of people, they won't, you know, deny prayer. I mean, we prayed for Joel, my new friend in Honduras. We did pray for him. You know, people are touched by that as well. So again, I hope this is helpful. You know, trying to equip you and give you as much as we can. So just keep going. Just try. Just go for it. Yeah. You know, as you continue to evangelize, we're hoping that eventually you'll get some people, you know, some fish on the line, as we're called to be fishers of men. And we don't want to just have a, you know, one encounter with people, but really to do discipleship. You know, discipleship starts with reaching the lost, engaging the lost, and then establishing biblical foundations. And we do have a tool for that. It's this one-to-one booklet. This is a physical copy of it. It's also available, you know, on your phone or your iPad, tablet, whatever it might be, in the Google Play or the, you know, the different stores for apps and stuff. This is the, you know, the application as well. And it's available like in all kinds of different languages. We have it in Spanish, you know, and Indonesian, Filipino, Chinese, Japanese, I guess. I'm not sure some of these other languages, but it really is a fantastic tool. Because eventually, like I say, you'll have people that will want to follow Jesus or will be interested in knowing more, whether they, you know, quote unquote, receive Jesus or just want to know more. The one-to-one is a good tool. And some of the reasons why we like the one-to-one, you know, why use it? Many have already have a church background, never been born again or developed strong foundations. You know, they've heard the gospel. They've been on the outside looking in. It majors on the foundations, you know, so there's different chapters here on, you know, sin and salvation, lordship, repentance, baptism, devotion, church, even discipleship. It is kind of a living document. It's been edited and re-edited and everything as well. We use this as a part of our local church, our membership process, the foundations class, biblical foundations. We use the one-to-one. You know, just because it, you know, does talk about salvation. We tell people, maybe you've heard this before, some of it will be new, but we do want to strengthen your foundations. And it majors on the foundations. It's very simple to follow. You don't need to, you know all the moves. You know, sometimes you watch people dance and you say, I could never dance like that. You watch some preachers and you say, I could never preach like that. But really, it's very personal. You can use it to start a regular meeting. You know, hey, can we meet once a week? You know, so you go through one chapter a week. And what I really like about it, I think the genius of Pastor Steve Murrell, the founding pastor of Victory Fellowship, Victory Churches in the Philippines 35 years ago, started doing the one-to-one. And it's very reproducible in the sense that if somebody does it, You know, they do it, they receive it, then very quickly they can turn around and they can do it with somebody else. They don't have to have all the systematic theology, hermeneutics, homiletics, all that kind of, you know, like you, they can, that preacher, he can really preach and he can really, but I could never. Well, with this, it's so simple, so down to earth. The genius is that it's not complicated. You know, so if you do it with somebody, then you say, well, you do it now with your friends, or you take them with you. Let's do it together. And eventually you transfer it over to them. And so just remember, it can be used in a one-on-one setting or with a group. You want to have a group participation as well. Do not assume that because they attend church regularly that this material is common knowledge. There are scores, if not hundreds, of people who go to church and kind of believe in the historical religious Jesus but have never had a personal encounter with him, never repented and trusted Jesus as their Savior. And let people know you're talking to be a part of the lesson. Have them read the scriptures, like when we do it in our Biblical Foundations class. Hey, could you read? And then they get used to reading the Bible. The scriptures are in here. You don't have to look them up, you know, in a separate Bible, but it does use biblical scriptures as well. And then make sure you ask all the application questions as well. Don't just assume that that there's application questions. Ask the question and then pause. Let them answer. I did that on purpose, that pause. You can see it's kind of uncomfortable, but you want them to participate, them to have that time of reflection as well. Always be humble, respectful. Listen well to their thoughts, opinions, beliefs, emotions. Resist the urge to correct wrong beliefs that you may share. Listen to the Holy Spirit and read all the text in the book. Don't skip over anything. The information is there for a reason. So we wanted to make sure that you're at least familiar with this one-to-one. You can see it and use this in your discipleship process, because again, evangelism, you know, is really just the first step in what could be a lifelong relationship of discipleship and working together in ministry as well. So, you know, once again, thank you for watching this series of videos. I hope it's been encouraging. I would like to just pray for you as we conclude, and then just tell you just to go and make disciples. God, I do pray for each and every person as they learn this. God, I pray that they would be able to walk in the area of evangelism, even though they might be stumbling, just like a baby. When they start to walk, they fall, they get up, they fall, they get up. Lord, I pray that each one would be encouraged and be bold as a lion, God, that you'd give them great boldness to share their faith. Lord, I pray that you'd give them open doors with their classmates, workmates, neighbors, family members. Lord, I pray that they would have clarity in the message, God, that even the Holy Spirit would bring back to their mind. And Lord, there would be no condemnation, no fear. I come against the plans of the enemy to hinder them, to impede them from sharing your word. God, I pray that your grace would be upon them in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Go ahead and just try it. Just go make disciples. Go share your faith with somebody. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you. The Word of God is in you. You've got more than now than when you first started. So just go ahead and go for it. God bless you.